Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Through years of contemplation and reflection, Daniel Wirth started the Living Peace Clinic to bring out into the world an alternative roadmap to the average, everyday, stressed-out life. This joy is how Daniel consciously lives and forges his life. Daniel developed groundbreaking therapies that accelerate awareness on all levels, inviting clients to now walk into their own unique, beautiful version of their authentic adventure life and beyond. Daniel's mantra is, "Never cause any detriment directly or indirectly to myself or to another soul." Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thank you, Leanne. It's wonderful to be here and have a conversation and see what we can talk about.
Yeah, I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Oh, that's really colourful. I quit my job this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, literally an hour ago.
Wow. You want to tell us more?
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, what I find is we sometimes we have the best intention to do something and then we get down that track a little way and then we find that sometimes that doesn't always turn out the way it was actually first intended. And we'll get little buttons pushed here and there. And those little buttons will become bigger buckets and then the concrete starts pouring in and there's only so much a person can take and then it's time to say thank you very much, but no thank you. And off we go. Another opportunity, another journey.
Yeah. So do you have anything in mind or it's just all new?
No, I'm used to this. I'm used to throwing in the towel when it's not when it gets too hard. I think it's more of a case of how far I'm prepared to sell my soul.
Yeah.
Or how far is profit worth ahead of people? You know, I think that's a big thing at the moment, particularly in the media. And I'm for one that, I prefer to be penniless and on skid row than to be steamrolling over somebody else because I need a paycheck at the end of the week. It doesn't work for me. So where do I go now? Well, that's really easy. I just continue to delve into my peace architecture or the therapy that I've been working on and getting that out to as wide an audience as possible. And you know, that will, you know, hopefully... No, it won't. Not hopefully. Just by taking the actions, as you know, within your own business, you know, things lead from one, and then you have a chance conversation, and a chance meeting, and all this sort of stuff, and voila, you've got a new job, or a new opportunity, or a new contract, or whatever it is. So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. So where have you actually been? What's your story to get to this point?
Oh, that's colourful. Because I like your background, it's really colourful. This just suits my favourite word of the year, colourful. Country kid, country Victoria, Swan Hill. Spent 10 years being molested by a priest, sexually abused, which was basically the start of a lot of my troubles. My colour, my troubles, you know, things we have to go through. And through that, trying to come to terms with it, then no matter how much psychology or therapy or whatever I went through, I still couldn't get the answers that actually meant anything to me, you know, to make me feel good. You know, it's one thing to get my life back into order and, you know, sort of harden up and get on with life and get a job and make lots of money. But that doesn't mean anything. That means nothing to me. You know, money is almost in, you know, need to pay rent and have food on the table. But for me to really feel as if I was healing myself always gaining some level of healing or forgiveness, or, you know, what I've set out to do is to forgive the church, for one thing, and then I set out to forgive Ridsdale, and then I tried to forgive Pell, because he was my parish priest at the time, lo and behold. And then I realised, after many years of stumbling over myself and falling into big holes and, you know, baseball bats and, you know, brick walls and things like that, I realised I actually was sort of heading in the wrong, not the wrong direction. You know, it was okay for what it was for there, but what I was actually looking for was to forgive myself. I was there to forgive Danny, the young Danny that was, you know, that didn't have a childhood, that grew up really fast from age 9 and almost jumped into 16 overnight, and being able to deal with that, and, you know, being able to socialise at school, where I didn't have the ability to socialise per se, very much a loner. So I spent many years basically working on myself without help. Did I read any books? No, not really. Did I attend lectures? No, that didn't really work for me. What did I do? I tended to spend a lot of time in the bush, out in the scrub, not in, you know, where it's out away from cities, and just sit and try to work out where I actually sit in this whole equation. And then once the Victorian Commission came along, and then the Royal Commission, and all this other stuff sort of floated to the surface, it's just like, oh, shit, okay, well, this is really cool. Well, I've already done this, and I feel really good about it, and I have absolutely no, how do I say this? I don't know how to really describe this feeling of forgiveness towards the church. I suppose what I would like to say is that I forgive myself, so in turn I don't actually need to forgive anybody else, because one of the many things I found was that when I actually do it for myself, then on a bigger scale of things, if I move into aspects of vibration and, you know, spirit and everything else, when I do it for myself, I'm actually doing it for everybody. So I didn't actually need to go and forgive Ridsdale or Powell or the church. All I need to come to a position, or allow myself to navigate into a suitable position, that allow myself to say, Daniel, it's okay. It's all right. Danny's looking up at you and he's feeling pretty proud of you right now, because you've actually done it. So I'm just continuing that journey. I'm pushing the boundary of that journey, because what I've found is that it's not something that's normally done. It's not typical. It's atypical. And now it's more of a case of, well, now that I can do it, so can everyone. Well, now I can develop something that everybody else can do it too. Or everybody else would have the opportunity to jump through hoops, or I'm coming up against this brick wall, and being able to identify with that and navigating through that fear and so on and so forth, until they too get to a position where they feel as if they're comfortable. Mm. They feel as if there's no more fear, there's no more childhood trauma. And that was, you know, there was another reason why I did it, was if I can help myself, then I can help someone else. Simply by having this podcast, of being able to speak about it, no matter what a person is going through, yes, it is a journey to get through it, but if one keeps very focused on not how they're doing it, but the feeling that goes with it, and let the how go, and stay with the feeling, and let the feeling drive. So if the feeling is I'm feeling really yucky today, well, get up and go for a walk along the river, or do something like that that's going to stimulate joy or happiness, or just relaxing, and then move through and let how it happens, let the psychology of it let that go, because it actually becomes more complex than what it needs to.
So it's quite a journey. Have you had tipping points of change? Were they like lightning bolt points where you've made changes, like you've zigged and zagged on your pathway to healing?
Absolutely. I think it's necessary, because if we identify, you know, when I found that one of the most terrifying places to go, and I can understand why people don't tend to, you know, there's a lot of people who meditate, but there's also a lot of people who don't. I can understand why people don't, because eventually you've got to face yourself. And that can be absolutely horrific, because you can't lie to yourself. You can lie to yourself until the cows come home, but at the end of the day, you're the one that's, well, I'm the one that's got to go to sleep at night, and how comfortable that sleep is depends on how rested on the day before. So there's been many lightning bolts, as especially working in corporate in IT in the 80s and 90s. You know, organisations that would only everything was about money, and when we're making transactions, you know, worked in ran data centers, so mainframes and large centers at, with operations and things like that. So that also conflicted with who I was or where I was trying to go, because at the same time I was making statements to the police and doing my interviews and getting ready for Ridstyle, and you know, that was going to be another 3 or 4 years to go, but you know, getting myself into that stage. And then organisations are basically saying, well, we don't care about your personal stuff. You've got to get on with the show. You know, you've got to run this place. You know, there's, you know, companies depending on this, and we've got all this to do. So, you know, it gradually got to a point where that job had to go. And another job had to go, and another job had to go, and another one, another one. You know, I've had, I don't know, probably 32 jobs in the last 23 years or so. And in a way, I am eternally grateful that I've had the opportunity to actually jump through all of those jobs, because everyone has actually taught me something about me. And I think that's very important. And to be able to sit with that comfortably and silently and reflect on it, I think there's great value, and not see the employee, the other, you know, other staff that are, you know, or he's a prick, or he hates people, or he bosses people around, or whatever that equation is. Not seeing it like that, but seeing that the beauty in the skills of these other practitioners, these other people I was working with. You know, it's wonderful. If they didn't have the requirement for a job, we would all be, you know, we'd all be great. You know, there's been a number of those things, and you know, I've certainly been, it's been very colourful. So there's been other things that have happened that have basically, you know, I've had my life stripped apart so much that all that was left was a breath. So I basically didn't have clothes on my back or a place to live or anything like that, which many people tend to go through, unfortunately, or fortunately. But I saw it as an avenue of growth. It's something I needed to go through, because as what I found was, as I started to exit out of corporate life, which sort of started in 92, you know, I didn't actually get out until 2005. So, you know, there is a lot of things of life and relationships and, you know, and jobs and things like that that came and went and came and went, until everything within my life started to break apart. And to me, that's the breaking apart is actually quite important, because it allows me to push myself into the wall, and certainly been suicidal many times, but being able to get to that end point and say, no, that's not exactly what I want to do. I want to give this another go. I want to see what else I can do. And then being able to pull myself back into some sort of structure or some sort of, I won't say a box because I hate boxes, but some sort of structure of life. you know, that I'm actually, I've got a social circle, I've got friends, I've got somewhere to live, I've got food on the table, and I've got, I can have conversations with people like you and other people. I've got other clients around the world and around Australia that I help doing, helping them navigate through their stuff, where the box of society doesn't, it's not where they fit. You know, one of the things I found in one of the first or second things of suicide I went through was that I lost all faith in society. The box that I had, and I was then working as an operations manager in technology, and the box that I was fitting in, it disintegrated on me, and I just thought, what the hell am I doing? Where am I going? This isn't right. Or this doesn't feel right. I don't have a place in the world or in my life to actually say, this is where I belong. And that can be very hard. Mm. So, yeah, there's been a number of things, but even though they may be lightning bolts and trigger points, I also see them as very beneficial in the participation of that action at that time of my life.
Yeah.
And one other thing I found is that when I reflect back on that, it bears no benefit where I could have done that differently, or I should have said those words differently, or I didn't have to go off my nut with something that went wrong or something like that. That does no good. That didn't do me any good. So what I train myself to do in reflection is to see the advantage of simply that, simply seeing that as another opportunity for me to explore in me, for me to explore something that is outside the framework of what typical society knows about or even wants to even talk about. So,
yeah,
it's been interesting.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like that. Lots of challenges and different directions and that.
Yes.
But at different points, what actually keeps you putting one foot in front of the other?
I don't know.
My big vision, out of necessity.
I've got big visions. I've got enormous visions, but that's not actually what gets me to put one foot in front of the other.
Mm.
I am vision. Within my lifetime, no crime, no illness, no poverty. Corporates are operating differently. If the corporates actually exist, I don't care. I don't have a problem with people making money, but I do have a problem with people steamrolling and screwing other people over because they want to have a fat paycheck.
Mm.
And, you know, they can do that, but they'll have to deal with it. They've got to deal with the consequences at a point in time, whether it's within this life or when they pass over and go into another life, they've still got to deal with it. So it comes down to that, you know, we just move through as best we can and do what we can do today. One of the most hilarious things I came across, and I thought I was supposed to be kept, I do lots of Fruit Loop stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm absolutely stark raving freaking crazy. I was working in this wonderful little warehouse in Tullamarine, and ever since I was a kid, father was worked in a butter factory, so I was always around machinery. You know, I'm just a big kid, but I got stuck in an office. So this was my first opportunity to go and unload trucks and do all the, you know, stuff that I really wanted to do. And what I found was that within a couple of weeks of actually starting that job, is that I'd go home on a Friday afternoon and I'd come back on a Monday morning and it's like I'd never worked there before. Or the period of time between the Friday and the Monday became so still, it felt like 100 years long. And that really got my attention. You know, that's... I'm not educated, I'm a high school dropout, but I've done very well through my life and career. But that really got my attention. And if you're talking about lightning bolt things, that's one of them. along with trying to top myself and not actually doing it and not being able to do it because, you know, the rope breaks or something else happens or the car ends up being on the road instead of against a tree or something like that. There's something else in the equation that is way above my pay grade for me to understand. I don't really want to understand. All I want to do is to use or navigate utilizing the benefit of that and formulating my life or forging a direction of my life. How it equates to anybody else, I really don't care. It's of no benefit. I don't need to get into worrying about everything else that's going on in the world. I'm still trying to work out this factor of now. You know, when you're sitting now, there is no past, there's no future. The only effect is right now and moment to moment to moment to moment. And you do that for 7 years, it really, it has an effect. So it's wonderful. It's fantastic. And it helps me, it lets me understand that I'm actually moving through a lot more than what other people are or what I'm aware of within other circles. Because I talked to a number of people and you know, from what they say, it's just like, oh, you're a fruitcake. That's just so awesome. That is just what, you know, it's just out of the box.
Yes.
So when I get, maybe I can twist that word of lightning bolt around into evidence, and allowing synchronicity to play into that equation, you know, like being at the right place and the lights turn the right colour, or, you know, I've driven from the Blue Mountains in Sydney to St Kilda without a red light, without stopping. Well, stopping for petrol, but without a red light, you know, driving down Sydney Road, doing the whole thing, no red light. You know, that's an incredible synchronicity. So when I continue to allow myself to open myself up to more, then the fabric of the way society is progressing now, to me, is perfect. It may not seem to be that perfect, because if one tunes into the doom and gloom, the sky's going to be falling. But if one and that takes a lot of guts or a lot of courage or internal, you know, stuff to say, well, I'm going to turn that TV off and leave it alone for a year and see what effect on my brain, on my thinking, on my feeling does that have with me. Now, I've got a feeling that time, but now what I do is simply, you know, I hardly watch TV. I sit on the back veranda. I live in Townsville. Nice small backyard. It's green. It's warm. What else do I need? I don't need to go to the shops. I do that once a week. I don't have to go buy a car. I've got a little secondhand car that gets me around. What do I need? You know, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds that way. I love it. All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Okay.
Now, favourite book?
Don't read. Well, but yeah, I do. Beyond the Himalayas by Murdoch, I think. Yeah, I found it in a trip to, I went for a journey with a monk across Singapore and Thailand a little while ago, and that was rather a colourful thing, in bare feet too, which was even more. And that's the other thing I do. I don't do shoes. I love walking into the hospital when I go and visit friends or I need to go for an appointment or whatever, and walking around the hospital in bare feet. It's awesome. The fear on people's faces, like the shock, even through the shopping centre, the horrendous looks I get on people's faces, and I don't do it for that. It's just like, oh, he can't afford shoes. What's he doing? Oh, he's going to sue this shopping centre. He's going to do this. Oh, what a load of shit. God's sakes. It's only bare feet. So, yeah.
Yeah. What about a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
I would have to put that down to probably the most challenging of circumstances, the times of when I didn't want to be alive. So in a lot of ways, I'd have to say the Catholic Church or Ridsdale or Pell. Because, you know, I've met Pell a couple of times and, you know, he'll say what he needs to say, and that's okay. No one needs to get into that. But what I find, and I've had some other things, you know, especially when my life is stripped apart, people want to chase me around the country a little bit more than I wanted to. Even that, that's a mentor to me.
Mm.
It's not, and the other mentor would be absolute silence. Yeah, I looked at that question and I thought, ooh, how am I going to answer that one?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because some people have specific mentors, others say life, others say lots of little bits here and there. So
Yeah.
What daily ritual works best for you?
Not too much bourbon.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, none. What daily ritual? Well, that's an interesting one because I tend to not eat for 4 days or I tend not to sleep for 4 days and then I'll go and have 3 or 4 hours sleep or rest and then get up and meditate for a little while, you know, maybe a half an hour or something, and then I'll go and do something. Mm-hmm. And that may be inspirational writing or I'll get, as I've been working through this piece, architecture therapy, you know, I've got there's things like the things I put down, like goosebumps and intentions and stop thinking and start feeling. So I'll get a feeling and then I'll go and try and type that feeling into words, and then I'll end up having, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 pages of words according to that feeling. So I don't really have something that really works. I think what I'm trying to do is actually trust whatever's arriving, and that doesn't matter what picture that is or what colour that is, trust whatever is arriving and acting according to where that actually places myself, as long as it's a benefit to myself and to others, or the greatest benefit to all. So in other words, let go of everything no longer serves and just stay. And this, for me, it is challenging, even though I've been doing it for 7 years, to stay in the now and still think I'm sane and not going really loopy. So, yeah, it really doesn't have a structure.
Mm-hmm.
I just go with the feeling and seeing where that actually leads.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite food?
I love to cook. So favourite food, it would have to be roast pumpkin, roasted pine nut, spinach salad with a white vinaigrette. Something like that.
Yeah, that's divine.
Yeah.
Do you like the country or the city?
Both.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the city. I love it. You know, I spent 20 years in Melbourne and then in Sydney and Blue Mountains and Canberra, Brisbane, Singapore. But I love the country. You know, I like the space. I lived on Magnetic Island for a couple of years and that was absolutely wonderful. Felt like I was an immigrant coming back to Townsville every day. So both is equally. But what I actually like now is I like to be in a larger country town like Townsville or another one, because I don't tend to stay still very long. But as long as I've got access to an airport, now if I can get on a plane and fly to Melbourne or see friends or Sydney or wherever, then or jump in a car and, you know, drive to Brisbane's nothing, even though it's, you know, 23 hours, but it's still pretty, you know, you've got to drive 8 hours in Townsville to realise you're actually going somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, both.
Do you have a piece of advice to give to others to help them make change?
Smile. Smile no matter what. Even if you really want to cry and you really want to sob, and even if you have to smile silently that nobody else knows and only you know, then smile.
Mm.
No matter what. No matter what. It changes. I was a shopping centre cleaner in Noosa. And what I found was that because I was, and to me that was quite a horrific experience to go through because I had never been that destitute. I'd never been in that position of you know, not really knowing where I'm going or what I'm doing or anything like that. And being able to clean a table in a food court with other people sitting there is an extremely humbling experience. I was trying to say humility, but it's not. It's an extremely humbling experience. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a huge amount of strength and ability to smile no matter what, because, you know, these, you know, it was on Hastings Street, so it's the premier address of Australia, and you get all these, you know, holiday makers from Melbourne and Sydney or wherever else coming in, and, you know, they're on holidays, but I'm living a holiday every day of my life. So it's actually, yeah, that would be one of the big ones. And the other one is, if you ever break out in the goosebumps when it's not cold, when you hear something beautiful, or you hear some words, or hear some music, or something on TV, or a movie, or something like that, or you simply have a thought and you spontaneously erupt into goosebumps, listen to it. Mm. Take notice. It's not something wrong with your health. It's, to me, it's my soul becoming so excited that my body physically responds. Or my heart becoming so excited that my body physically responds, and that's all goosebumps are.
All right, so last question.
Yes.
If you had a time machine, would you go back and do things differently or tell your former self something else?
Absolutely not. Mm. Absolutely not. No way. You know, I'm booking my ticket on the next journey here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been... Yes, it is extremely challenging and it's horrible and the world needs to change and it's chaos. But at the end of the day, as I continue to grow and become more peace or whatever that vibration is or whatever it relates to, I could even say that for the church. I would not change anything about my childhood. Because even though it's a hard thing to swallow, I'm alive today and I'm not going out and killing people. I'm not murdering people. I'm paying my tax and I'm doing my stuff. Yes, very quietly and very much behind the scene and things like that. But I don't hate anybody. I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. I'm more than a survivor. It's like, oh, yeah, that was an experience in my life, right? I'm at a different point now and very much empowered and eternally grateful for what's happened in my life, no matter how horrific and no matter how many times I've tried to not want to be on the planet. Mm. I wouldn't even change those experiences either.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time and sharing your story with us, Daniel. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you and we'll end it there?
Yes, best place, website, www.livingpeaceclinic.com.au, and there's contact details on there, or email is daniel@livingpeaceclinic.com.au.
Well, thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Igniters, Daniel's strength in being a survivor and not a victim is something to aspire to. His message of letting go of what does not serve you is true. If you want to contact Daniel, go to his website, livingpeaceclinic.com.au. For a life of true inner balance, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.